Hey everybody, this is Dominic D'Angelo of WrestleZone.com. Today's date is April 13th, 2021. And I'm happy to have with me here today to promote Butts in the Seats. The Kickstarter's going and it's going to finish up this Friday. It's with Dirk Manning and none other than Tony Schiavone. Both of you guys, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Dominic. It's great to be with you. Great to see you. And it's great to be talking about something that's really been great for us and something that we've worked on hard, quite hard for about a year now.
Wow, yeah. Really? So talk about how this all started. How did you two meet and collaborate with this?
Dirk, I usually tell the story, but I'm going to let you tell it.
All right, hot tag. Look at that.
Hot tag. How about that?
Yeah, we'll go backwards. So Mike Dawkins, who a lot of people in wrestling circles know as the gimmick attorney, he's really, I think, getting his name and stuff out there, approached apparently both Tony and I fairly simultaneously, we believe. We have yet to kind of, due to the pandemic, things like that, Tony and I have never met in person yet. Everything's been virtual.
So oh, wow.
You can tell he's very heartbroken about that. Just by
yeah.
But no. Originally, I think Mike's plan was for me and Tony to meet at C2E2 this past year. And then I had a situation come up at the very last minute. First time in history I missed a show. So instead, Mike Dawkins gives me a call and says, hey, how would you feel about doing a graphic novel with Tony Schiavone? And I said, okay, well, yeah, let's have that meeting, you know? So in the meantime, I come to find out that Mike was also very gently finessing Tony on this idea. And basically we got together, had a Zoom, because at that point, pretty much all live events shut down pretty short order, at least as far as Comic-Cons went. We got a Zoom call, we talked about it, we outlined the book, and that was last March. So it's been about a year now, a year and change, if you can believe that. That we've been working on putting this whole fiasco together.
Well, yeah, Tony, talk about what inspired you to kind of, I know you're a comic book fan and big Batman fan and all that, stuff, but what really inspired you to, hey, I want to get my story out in graphic novel form?
Well, I never, you know, Dominic, I never had thought about that before. I had been approached, actually, I had talked to a few people about doing a book and realized, by talking to some friends, you know, book puts in a lot of work, takes a lot of effort, a lot of work. JR would certainly, and the Bucks would certainly tell you that. And I never did, writing a book about me never did seem to resonate with me because I'm not the type of guy, at least I've never been the type of guy that likes to even sit down and tell my story. I like to just kind of remain one of those guys that puts over other guys and talks about wrestling and the Tony Schiavone story. Yeah. Okay. It bores me. So I thought it would bore everybody else. But when then Mike Dawkins said comic book and I grew up loving comic books, loving superheroes, then all of a sudden a light went off and I said, yeah, let's talk about this and let's do it. And well, when I found out that the only thing that I really had to put into it was just to sit down and tell my story on Zoom to a group of people, a couple I never met before, like Dirk and Drina Joe, I thought, yeah, let's give it a shot. So it became a very, it became a time consuming process, but a very easy process for me to be able to do that. And it's, and now that I can sit down and once we get the comic finalized and get it in book form, I can just sit down and probably, you know, go through it and take a look at it and read it and don't have to spend like a month on it to read it. So I thought that graphic novel is, because I love graphic novels, and I've read a number, mostly like Batman, Superman, things like that. But I just loved it. And I thought, you know what, maybe, just maybe, and here's me talking way out of school, maybe it can be the beginning of me becoming a superhero in comic books. Right, Dirk?
That, you know, the craziest thing happened once this Kickstarter hit 100 grand. Mm-hmm. Suddenly there's all this talk now about Tony Schiavone, the franchise, Tony Schiavone, the superhero, Tony Schiavone, the zombie killer, Bug, the superhero.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's been a blast, you know, and again, just to double down on what Tony was saying. It's been a long process. But it's been an shockingly easy process. You know, I'm a guy that's mainly known for my creator-owned work, you know, and on top of that, horror comics. So, you know, all jokes aside about Tony's story being a horror story, you know, maybe at certain times, you know, it was, but it's been just like, you know, talking to old friends. And, you know, aside from doing these podcasts and things like that, it's getting to the point where it's like, gosh, every couple of weeks, we were having these Zoom meetings to talk about different parts of the book that, you know, I would go through and transcribe. And I'm almost to the point where I'm starting to miss our get-togethers, you know, and do that, you know.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun. We really did. We bonded. We really did. We got along with each other, and I had a story to tell. My wife helped me tell the story, because the story, Dominic, is really about me. It's not really the entire Tony Schiavone story. It's kind of like, well, I hate saying that in third person. It's not really like my whole story. Mm-hmm. It's my story starting from when I first remember wrestling and became a wrestling fan until now, basically. And that's what the story is about. And we don't really cover much of my family life. We cover a little bit. We cover how Lois and I met, and basically that's kind of it. So that's how it got all put together. And I'm really, really, I'm really excited about, I've seen drawings. I've seen drawings with ink on it or color. Is the proper to call it ink now?
Yeah. Some people do penciling, then inking, then coloring.
Inking. Okay. So you still do inking. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people just do digital. So like,
right.
You know, it just kind of like pre-inked in a way, or they pencil it, but then they show us the ink, but yeah.
Right.
Find it on that and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's it been too? Like, you have several artists on the project too, right? It's like
a little
different, and writers as well.
Well, one writer. Well, two. Oh, one, if you count Tony, yes.
Okay,
I'm writing the whole thing. We do have an editor, Jeannie Joe's our editor on the book, so she kind of keeps us in line. We started the book with 10 artists for the 10 main chapters of the book, and then an 11th artist for the cover, Marianna Pescosta, for the main cover. Ringo Award nominated. So then as the book grew on Kickstarter and we just started shattering stretch goals, we added 4 bonus stories. So that gave us 4 more artists. Then we added 10, I think before that, even we added 10 illustrated chapter breaks, each by a different artist. Mm-hmm. So that gave us another 10 artists. Then one of the stretch goals, we have Sean Daly doing a double page spread, which is going to be a free print with the book. So we've got, you know, when you factor all that in and then factor in, you know, another colorist or two for some of the stories, we have over 24 amazing artists on this book. It takes an army to tell a story of the magnitude of Tony Schiavone's life in wrestling. Not even his whole life.
Right.
Just the wrestling
aspect.
And you can see that we also now have 24 artists on the payroll, which means I'm not going to see hardly any money at all. But that's okay. I know we're just starting.
Hey.
There it is. Laying that groundwork out. Well, plus, and again, when you have a lawyer that puts this whole deal together.
Yeah, you're not going to see much anyway.
Not with the gimmick attorney at hand.
No, that's right.
Yeah, the gimmick attorney. He worked us into a shoot, got us all tied up on it. It was a mess.
That Mike Dawkins, he knows what the hell he's doing.
Yes, he does.
Tony, so I mean, me as a comic book fan, and Dirk, obviously you as a comic book fan. And Dirk, talk about real quick just your wrestling fandom. How did that come into play?
You know, it's funny. I've kind of joked how Tony and I have a lot of parallels in our philosophy, a lot of things, but even our life. You know, Tony was introduced to wrestling through his Uncle John. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to wrestling through my great-grandmother. I was very fortunate. When I was little, I actually knew my great-great-grandma.
Wow, seriously?
It was crazy. But my great-grandma, I spent a lot of time with her and used to watch wrestling. And, like, she would, like, curse and, like, cuss about, like, gorgeous George and stuff like that. And, oh, you know, she was a spitfire, man. So I used to watch wrestling with her. So I mean, I pretty much came out of the egg watching wrestling and have been a fan, an unabashed fan of professional wrestling my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you too. It's like, I've never met my great grandfather, but how wrestling got introduced to me was through him watching Bruno Sammartino and then going.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And now all the way up to even like, it's so great for me because I think that, and I think, you know, you'll appreciate this as a wrestling fan. I think sometimes wrestling fans are kind of like, reserved about their fandom.
Oh, very, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never been that way. And I'm like, look, man, I'm an intelligent guy. I love horror movies. I love heavy metal. I love professional wrestling, ice cream, and comic books. Like, that's like the five legs of the stool that hold up the existence of Dirk Manning. And so now, even seeing like AEW, I think opening the doors again to a new level and a new access of fandom and is phenomenal. And people, it's like getting cool to like wrestling again, or it's getting more accepted, which is,
yeah, it, I think it is. And like, Tony, talk about a lot of the, like, there you can see a lot of the comic fandom too. Like, I know Eddie Kingston's a big comic fan. Right. I know there's Cody Rhodes, obviously.
Christopher Daniels, another one. Yep.
Yeah, another big one. Mm-hmm. Talk about how you relate to them on a, from a comic book standpoint. Is there a lot you guys talk about and bullshit, whether it's a DC, Marvel, anything like that?
Yeah, we do talk about, there's a lot of discussion between me and Cody about Star Wars.
Yes.
There's a lot of discussion, believe it or not, between me and Lance Archer, big old Lance Archer, about Star Trek, because he's a big Trekkie. And Christopher Daniels and I talk a lot about comic books and about, you know, our favorite writers and our favorite comic books. Christopher gave me just recently, and I had not seen it before, the first volume of Batman Year One, not Batman Year One, Earth One. And I bought the second one. I guess the third one's coming out this summer, and it had me, I went and bought Earth One for Superman's 1, 2, and 3. I believe that's what I got. I got them on Amazon. So we do discuss things like that a lot. And, I'm going to be honest with you, Cody is really into this stuff a lot more than I am. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot more years on him. Not as many years on Christopher Daniels as I have on Cody, but I have a lot more years on him. But he has, growing up, he read like Star Trek, Star Wars books.
Yeah,
the books. He knows everything. And, you know, we talk about Easter eggs that we had seen in The Mandalorian, some of those Easter eggs, and maybe some of the Easter eggs that we've seen in WandaVision and things like that. So, thank goodness for the internet. You know, it has helped me also rekindle some of that as well. But there is discussion about superheroes because we're always into that. And I like to think, Dominic, that pro wrestlers for many people were superheroes as well. Mm-hmm. And they were, it was good against evil. And as a matter of fact, my wife and I are starting to watch the Marvel Universe now again, in order. We're watching in timeline order.
Yes.
So we're going to be wrapped up in doing that for the next few months or whatever, because she watched the Falcon and the Winter Soldier with me, and now she's interested in going back and finding out this story. And I think it's great because comic books have, even before the movies came out, had these great story arcs, mm-hmm, in them. That's what wrestling has. That's what all great drama has. And I think that's why we love it so much, because it's drama, it's good against bad, it's superheroes, it's bad guys, and it's just all wrapped into one. And I think that's what blows me away. You know, Conrad and I do this podcast, What Happened When. He doesn't like superheroes. He doesn't like comic books. He doesn't like science fiction. And I said, how in the world then are you a fan of pro wrestling?
Yeah,
right.
How can you not be a fan of all this stuff and not be a fan of pro wrestling? And I guess it's just because he's a big old redneck from Alabama, doesn't know better. I don't know, but that's way it is. And so there is a lot of discussion backstage on, you know, especially when The Mandalorian was coming out and WandaVision came out, and, talking about that. I started when I was in grade school, and I started buying comic books. I wouldn't say collecting comic books, but buying comic books after I saw the Batman TV series in the 60s. That started everything for me. And I've become a fan ever since then.
Well, okay. Who do you think is the best Batman?
The best Batman?
Yeah.
Well, when Michael Keaton came out, I thought, man, I think it's Michael Keaton, but I think Christian Bale was probably the best one.
I think I'd have to lean to that too. How about you, Dirk? Who do you think?
Kevin Conroy.
Wow, the voice.
Oh, the voice.
Yeah.
Okay. That is so cheap.
It is. It's
that is so freaking cheap.
You know, but if you made me go live action, because okay. you don't know this, Dominic, and we're not going to relive this feud now, but Tony and I actually had our first dust up on some Batman opinions on some Batman things about who Batman's best romantic interest has been.
Yeah.
And we're trying to squash that, you know, but it got a little heated.
No.
But live action. Oh, man. They all have their, well, most of them have their merits. I didn't even hate Ben Affleck as like the grizzled old pissed off Batman in Zack Snyder's Justice League. I thought he was great. And before that, but you know, I think I might have to go Michael Keaton. As much as I like Christian Bale was good, but I think Michael Keaton, even though he can't bend his neck, can't turn his neck.
Right.
That's an issue.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he kind of started, not only him, but the entire crew started the Batman movie franchises. You know, that's kind of started everything.
Can you imagine if there was an internet back then and then people would have found out Michael Keaton was going to be Batman? I mean, I remember like even like the zines and stuff, people were losing their minds, like, you know, oh my God, Michael Keaton, you know, and it's like, you know, the guy that was played Mr. Mom.
Right.
But he was so good. He was so good.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah,
but that being said, Batman the Animated Series to me is just—it's
so cool how it's dark,
so fantastic
it is too. Like as a kid, I remember watching it on Saturday mornings and like being enthralled by it. But then you can go back as an adult and be like, "Holy shit, there's some a lot of dark shit happening."
They had to show some of them at night because they were too dark for Saturday morning.
So. Yeah, that's exactly right too. Exactly right. Wow. Yeah, and no, you're totally right, Tony, with that crossover of pro wrestling fandom and like, you know, comic book fans were such admirers of like continuity and alliances that go in and out and like heel turns, baby face turns, all that stuff. And that all happens in comic books and like really an introductory way into pro wrestling a lot. It was for me and I'm sure it was for you too in a lot of ways too, Tony.
Yeah, it really was. And that's, you know, Lois says to me that I've never learned to grow up and, you know, I'm in my 60s now and damn it, I don't want to grow up. I like video games. I've got a PlayStation 4. Haven't been able to put my hands on a PlayStation 5 yet, and I'm not going to pay the exorbitant ransoms they're asking for it online either. And I play video games. I play video games on my phone. I like games. When I was growing up, I loved toys. As a matter of fact, one of my first, and I've mentioned this, it's somewhere. I think my sister has it. One of the Christmases, they got me a Batman Batarang, which was this, we're talking about 60s, right? This plastic bat was on a rope. And there was a picture of me, there's a video of me, a home movie of me, putting it on the chandelier in our little cheap chandelier in our living room and trying to go across the room in it. and so I was into all that stuff, man, from an early age. And, I'm glad. I feel like now, you know, Dominic, I feel like now I'm a part of the comic book world and I can't be any more thrilled. You know, it's kind of like, what would you like to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a superhero. Well, you can't be that, but you can be on a comic book. Yes. Okay. There you go. How about that? Yeah.
And you know, but it's interesting too, though, talking about continuity and story arcs and faces and heels and all that stuff, you know, Butts and Seats, which again, people can pre-order at buttsandseatscomic.com. There's a big story arc to this too. And you know, and Tony and I have talked before about kind of like the title of the book even, and how initially he wasn't necessarily sold on the idea of Butts and Seats, but one of the things I looked at and, you know, I was kind of like, hey, you know, the whole theme of the book is really Butts and Seats, because one of the very first chapters is Tony buying tickets to a live wrestling event for his whole family.
Yeah.
Right. And then of course you go to him, you know, being in commentating and things like that and helping put the butts in seats that way. Then of course there's the infamous Butts in Seats night at WCW. And then getting out, and we talk about his time out of wrestling when he fell out and got on the outs with it and got out of WCW and went into sports announcing. Same thing. And now coming back to AEW and again, putting the butts in seats yet again. So, you know, there's even this whole continuity and I think when people read this book, people that maybe even only equate comic books to superheroes are going to find that there's a very strong story arc to this whole thing. And it's driven by, and like Tony talked about, I mean, we don't talk about Tony when he was younger. We don't really get into stuff with his parents or things like that, because rather it's just a story arc of this guy who, as a kid, went from pretending to interview wrestlers in front of his mirror into his hairbrush to now calling wrestling, you know, in almost every major wrestling promotion in the United States. And what a story, and the ups and downs that go with it, and the insides and the outs, peaks behind the curtain, respectfully. It's I think that although there's not people with capes flying around, obviously we see a lot of wrestlers and doing wrestler things
yeah.
in wrestling, but there is a certain, I dare say, hero's journey in this story as well. So until we get to Tony Schiavone, the caped zombie killing superhero comic, which will be the sequel, two butts, two seats.
There you go. I like it. I like
with
it.
The number two, of course.
Right. With the number two. Yeah. Tony, it's I think something cool to kind of think about too is how, you know, can you compare like just I guess Batman as a babyface and him going how he kind of can tie into pro wrestling in a lot of ways, I feel, because people want that outlaw kind of guy with mm-hmm. pro wrestling. And I feel like, you know, Batman goes against the grain with everything. And I think he really blends in with how, you know, what we want to see ultimately from your top babyface in pro wrestling.
I agree. And I'm going to go kind of deep here, Dirk. So hang on.
All right.
Okay. I'm ready. Oh, all right. Ah.
Okay. Batman is a flawed human.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman has a deep, dark problem that was developed when he was a child. It's the story that they always tell. And mm-hmm. they told it millions and millions and millions of times in many different ways. So you got a flawed guy who has a passion burning in him. And now he wants to rid the world of bad people. But he has a conscience. And he also has a creed that he lives by. So even though he's flawed and even though he has this deep, dark character, he has certain standards. So even standards that Captain America doesn't have, right? Captain mm-hmm. America's killed people, right?
Yep, yep.
Okay, so you take that.
Technically, Batman did too way early on, but we'll ignore that.
Okay, tell me that one then.
He used to carry a gun in his first appearance.
Okay, there you go.
But we will. We're writing that out. Go ahead.
Okay, so we'll iron that out. See, I knew I couldn't get into this until Big Mouth over here would say, "Oh no, oh no." So anyway, you got this flawed character who has certain morals, and he wants the. It's a perfect human story to me, and that's what draws us to wrestlers. The perfect human story. The wrestlers that you get, Dominic, the wrestlers that you really like are the ones that you understand their backstory and the ones that can talk to you and the ones that can talk to you and bring you into the arena. To me, when Chris Jericho and Cody had their match first year of AEW, they had some sensational interviews that elevated that match. Same thing with MJF and Jon Moxley. Right. They had sensational interviews that elevated the match. The guys who can talk are the guys, to me, who you can identify with because you identify with their story. And that's the same thing with Batman. I just think that he's a flawed character that has certain guidelines he goes by. He's been very blessed to be rich and very blessed to be able to know what he does with his money. And so I can identify with all of that. I can identify with all of that. Even to the, they used to say, Dominic, I don't know if it's even true anymore, but back in the old days, the best time to turn a heel babyface is when he's hottest as a heel.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what Batman has become. He was like, I mean, he's this vigilante, and in our society, vigilantes, you shouldn't do that, but we like this guy and we identify with him. So, So Dirk, do you agree with all that, or is there something else you'd like to kibosh?
No, no. In fact, I was just
comic book snooty.
No, I honestly, and I love comic books as a medium. I will say that I didn't come up reading superhero comics, although obviously I'm very familiar with superheroes. I was just checking real quick because Drina Joe, our editor on this series, is a huge DC historian. Wow. And if I said that Batman had a gun in his first appearance, and he did not, you can rest assured, Tony, that any wrath you wish to give me will be minute compared to the terror that Drina Joe will rain down upon me.
Yeah, I'll just step out of that one, let her take care of
right,
it.
Right, if that was not accurate. But no, yeah. I think you're exactly right. And the Venn diagram between superheroes and wrestling is huge. The crossover, the overlap is not that better, Tony. Sorry.
Venn diagrams.
I promised you last time I wouldn't say Venn diagram, and I busted it out again.
Sure did.
No, the overlap. All in. Yeah. I'm going all in on that one. No, the overlap is huge, and you know, I mean, especially now in a day and an age where, for better or for worse, people recognize that the characters or the personas that people demonstrate in the wrestling ring are perhaps not them in real life. Mm-hmm. I think it adds an extra level of appreciation to the dramatic narrative and the creative storytelling narrative that we can do, you know, and there's a very famous video out there on YouTube, wrestling isn't wrestling. And, you know, it takes a WWE, you know, persona, Triple H, and it just goes through with a little bit of creative editing for continuity purposes, the story arc of this character and how really when you compare the story arcs of wrestlers, you look at the story arc of a guy like Chris Jericho, for example,
right,
taking the person out of it and the wrestler, you know, he was just on Broken Skull Sessions with Steve Austin.
Yep.
Which I think was fantastic, you know, but when you just take Jericho, the character, and go from the Lionheart days all the way up to, you know, WCW and then invading Raw and you know, and going up against The Rock and the first ever Undisputed Champion to The List, to The Painmaker, yep, to AEW, you know.
Le Champion.
Le Champion, you know, all this in the Inner Circle. And again, like Tony said, going from white hot heel, now quickly turning into a white hot baby face. You know, there's such an appreciation for the storytelling. And that's why it would always just grind my gears when people are like, well, you know, that stuff's fake. Yeah. And I'm like, one, you can't fake gravity. And two, if you've watched and enjoyed any reality television, shut up.
You're right.
Wrestling's
more real than
maybe
that.
Maybe Survivor 1, you know. And three, appreciate the narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can appreciate Game of Thrones, which has dragons, how is that any lesser than me loving professional wrestling?
Right. Sure.
These guys are their own stuntmen even. So no, I think you're right on the money, Tony. And yeah. 100%. I will say no more of Venn diagrams.
Well, real quick, I'll let you guys go with this. I'm going to pull out a couple graphic novels. You let me know if you've read them and stuff.
All right.
Let's see here.
You know, and lest we forget, Tony, while Dominic's grabbing those graphic novels, I can send you more Dirk Manning stuff if necessary, too. I think I sent you a box early on when we first.
Yes, you did.
You might just throw that one away. Give it to Bug to line his cage.
How'd you like them, Bug? He liked them.
Right. We'll start with these ones.
All right.
Okay. Hold on a second. All right. We only got a few minutes. So, Tony or Dirk, have you read this one? Batman 27, Detective 27.
No, I did not.
Okay, this is really good.
That's an Elseworlds, right?
It's an Elseworlds, exactly. It's an Elseworlds one. So it
takes, there you go.
Yeah. It's, the artwork is like very old classic style, almost like Darwin Cook in a lot of ways, I feel.
Yeah, Darwin's so good. He was so good. Oh,
he was so good. Yeah. Okay, obviously, I think you guys read this one. So Batman Year One.
Batman Year One, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, this was the first graphic novel I've ever bought. So it'd be pretty cool if you guys happen to read this one with Superman.
Oh,
Superman.
No, I never read that one.
This is a very good one. Yeah.
That one. Yeah. I actually had that on my shelf right here. That's here. Hold on, let me grab it. That's Grant Morrison.
Yep.
My little Ghost Rider here. Yeah. You did this, Tony. It's very much I have a different cover, I guess.
Ooh, yeah. I like that cover.
And I don't have it again. I'm not trying to be a dirt ball. I don't have a ton of DC, but this was a really fun book. Mm-hmm. Grant Morrison, Frank Quietly did some really cool, wacky, zany, at times very heartfelt homages. And it has one of the best Superman scenes you'll ever see in a comic in this book.
And Crypto's in it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. This one's a good one. I really love this one a lot. Did you happen
to see this one? I, you know what? I've never seen that one.
Really?
Oh my God.
Oh, it's so fun. It's okay. It's Jeff Parker and Jonathan Case.
All right.
It's very like it embraces all that is cheesy about the Batman 66.
Yeah, they did a whole Batman 66 series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right.
And in fact, I don't have that one, but I'm a huge fan of Harlan Ellison, and they did an adaptation of the Harlan Ellison episode that he wrote that was never produced that was going to have Clint Eastwood as Two-Face.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Wow. Alex Ross cover on that one.
Holy smokes, that's awesome. All right, this is the last one. Then we got to get going. All right, have you read this one, Tony? I know you're Beast a big animal of... fan.
No.
Beast no? of Burden. No. The Burden. Okay, this is
okay.
That's a fantastic. That is Evan Dorkin and Jill Thompson did volume one. Mm-hmm. See, Tony, this is why you pay me the big bucks.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot that I have not read. I remember my first graphic novel that I read for Batman was Cataclysm.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
which was back in the 90s, I believe, is when it came out. And
like the No Man's Land and all that stuff.
Absolutely. That was, I really thought that was pretty cool. I read that. And Batman Year One. I remember reading that one. And Batman The Dark Knight.
Yep.
All those.
Dark Knight Returns.
Yep.
One of the first comics I ever read.
So pretty too. And like, it's like shocking as a reader, as a fan of Batman to read all that and seeing like how dark it got. It was like,
sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Plug anything real quick. How do they get to Kickstarter? How does that all happen?
Okay. The Kickstarter is Butts in Seats Comic. That's one word. Butts in Seats Comic, plural, not plural, but singular. ButtsinSeatsComic.com. And that's Kickstarter, which goes through Friday. You can also, check me out at Tony Schiavone 24 on Twitter. Same thing on Instagram as well. Dirk, anything else to add to that?
ButtsandSeatsComic.com. If you want to learn more about my work, you can go to DirkManning.com. And I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Lord help me, even Twitter, at Dirk Manning. Look for the avatar that got the top hat and the scarf. That would be me. And Dominic, thank you very, very much for having us on.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
When we can all get together in person again and geek out on comics and wrestling.
I would be more than game for that. Absolutely. So cool, guys. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Yeah, this was a thrill to do. So, man, I could have talked for hours.
Oh, thanks, right buddy. I appreciate you squeaking us in, man. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate
Absolutely. I'll keep you in the loop. I'll get this posted before Friday for you guys. And then we'll get the
Sounds
word.
Good. All right, buddy.
Yeah, tag us up on stuff like that. We're good to go. And then, Tony, I got you the link for round two, right?
Yep, I got it.
Okay. Rock and roll, guys.
All right, guys. See you.
Thanks, Dominic.
Bye-bye.
Bye.